Hi, y'all. This is Charlie Daniels. I've been telling you the South's going to do it again. Well, the South Shore's going to do it again, too. Monday Night Talk. Leave it where it's at.
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk here only on 95.9 WATD. If you're not tuning us in on the radio dial, of course, you can always go on the website, 95.9WATD.com. Don't forget, also, we are on Facebook. If you have a chance, if there's something you want to, you know, kind of share with us during the show, maybe you might have a question, find us, I believe it's Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. Joining us, I believe, on the phone line, he is the state representative representing the 7th Plymouth District. Jeff Deal, I think, is phoning in. Jeff, are you there?
I am here, and if it's Monday night, I'm either listening to Monday Night Talk or I'm on Monday Night Talk, so thanks for having me.
You know, can you say that again? Because that was a perfect soundbite for us, because Joe laughed over it. Say that one more time for the folks who are listening.
Well, it's Monday night, and if I'm not listening to Monday Night Talk, I'm on Monday Night Talk, because it's the place to be. So thanks for having me on, Kevin. Thanks, Joe.
See, we're going to use that now for, like, if we have a bumper, a new opening or something. What do you think, Joe?
Somehow I think you're going to glorify it to fit you perfectly.
Don't hate, Joe. Don't hate. Representative, I got to ask you, first and foremost, how have things been with you and things up at the State House?
Well, you described it in the opening pretty well. It's like a tennis match, and I think if you want to continue with that analogy, what you're going to see right now on Wednesday is an overhead smash of the ball. You ever see that when the ball is way up in the air and a guy is just teeing up ready to smash it in the other guy's court? I think the legislature is finally about to say, you know, give the final no on the governor's plan to raise, you know, taxes to the amount he wanted to raise them.
And it seems as though you have the leadership, not only in the House, but the Senate, is saying that they have heard, they have been listening to the voters, and the voters do not have the appetite. I believe Bobby DeLeo, the Speaker, said that sometime last week, did he not?
Well, let's back up for a second. The voters are still going to have to swallow a half a billion dollar tax increase, $500 million, that's set to expand up to $800 million at some point because of some of the taxes involved. We're talking about, of course, this is the transportation bill, which is sort of what was the shell for a tax increase. They used it. It's actually a tax on gas tax, which is related to transportation, of 3 cents indexed to inflation. So that's going to go up. The other thing is a dollar a pack on cigarettes, which I don't think is really related. And then the worst one, I think, is the new tax on computer services, which they still have yet to define to an extent. And that's going to be a new tax on labor or services. And so that potentially, they said about $160 million. I think it's going to balloon up to possibly $500 million. So that's why we think this is a bigger tax increase on people than is being told by the State House or by the legislature. But, yeah, no, Speaker DeLeo did say that there is no appetite for the $2 billion that the governor originally proposed, and that this is this is sort of the compromise. Although I do know colleagues in the House and in the Senate who are on the progressive side of things were looking for something in between what the governor wanted and what the House came forward with. So I think at this point, you know, we are set on roughly $500 million, which I think is a little bit more, but it will be a rejection of the governor's veto, which was to actually be a lot more.
Jeff, I've heard a lot of talk about this gas tax piece of this bill. You said it's a 3 cent tax, but it adjusts with inflation. I don't know if you can explain this in simple terms, but do you know the mathematical formula they've put behind this quote-unquote rise in inflation? Is there some type of, you know, like 2-to-1 rate, you know, some type of ratio, or how is this going to work?
Well, first you have to start with a base tax. 24 cents on gas is going to be tacked on to is 27 cents now, I believe. And then what's going to happen is, right, as inflation, as they set inflation rates, I mean, as inflation starts to increase, that's going to be, measured into how they increase this percentage. So I actually can't even tell you exactly how, until we finally pass it on Wednesday, I can't even tell you exactly how that's going to work, and I've been fighting this all along, because to be honest with you, for a legislature to be irresponsible enough to say, we're going to put a tax on something that now can increase without us voting it, is crazy. I mean, this is the state, you know, that went crazy over, increasing tax on tea and threw it overboard. You know, gas is something we need to get to and from work every day or take kids to activities. I mean, this is going to be a huge hit. And, you know, inflation, as what I understand, is set to increase over the next few years as the Fed stops pumping money into the economy. So this could be one of these runaway gas prices that we may have to try to repeal sooner rather than later. I'm hoping, because I don't think it's the right way to go.
Now, quick question for you. I happened to be, online looking around, and I found a Globe article in regards to this, the amendment sweeping aside some of the changes the governor had proposed to this said transportation finance bill. And I guess Transportation Secretary Richard Davey was out attending a ceremony and had made a comment that it's important that that the House and the Senate pass the $800 million bill to put forth on to, the taxpayers, because I guess there's, there down the road somewhere we have transportation projects, in 2017, 2018 that are going to need to be paid for.
Yeah, I mean, there are some federal, there's a Green Line extension for the T that's needed because of a federal agreement back when we did the big dig, that if we did the big dig, got federal funding, we would put this Green Line in. There's no time date on when we have to do that, although it's better to try to get it done sooner than later. But right now, again, we're coming out of a recovery period of a bad economy, as everybody knows. I don't know if this was the time to really swallow that big project and pill. The other thing is the MBTA really, when they merged with MassDOT, they didn't really do the reforms they were supposed to do, and eliminate a lot of the jobs they were supposed to do. So we didn't see a lot of savings. And one thing too is their pension. We still don't even know what their total pension is, because it's one of the few public pensions not visible online. So we're not sure how much is being poured into the pension that's coming from the legislative budget. And so we've asked for a lot of these reforms. They haven't been forthcoming. And I know Richard Davey is acting on the governor's behalf to be advocating for this tax increase, but I just don't see it as realistic. And by the way, we got an email from Richard Davey the day we voted last week to send back to the governor without his tax increase our final version of the bill. He sent out a note closing, saying that they'd be closing RMV locations in about 20 locations, and a lot of them were gateway type cities, places that really needed them. So I think that was sort of an indirect threat that if you don't give us the money, we're going to start doing some painful closures. And unfortunately, while tennis seems like a nice analogy, it really has been more of a duel. It's been pretty bad. It seems to be that the governor really is not listening to the legislature, who really does have the ear of the people on this one, saying we just cannot afford to have any new taxes. And just so we raised the sales tax just a few years ago to 6.25%. We've already had a big hit, and now they're going to be adding again to the taxpayer misery. So I just think the governor is off base on this one.
Talk to me about from what I understand, one side of the argument with the governor is the possible elimination of the Mass Pike tolls, and could be a doorway to open road tolling. Give me your thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that's the thing. One of the things he's using as an excuse to not sign this is that he thinks that in 2017, if we close some of the toll roads, that there won't be the funding available to pay for some of the projects that he wants to have done. So, if you go along that route, that means that, yes, he must be looking at open road tolling, which I don't know if you know this, but a lot of cars actually nowadays have transmitters in their cars that send information back to the vehicle manufacturer, so it lets you know about warranty information and the condition of the car. And so what they're trying to do now is, I guess, make that data accessible for the government to figure out where your vehicle is, so that basically you're getting a usage tax on the roads rather than paying a toll. And that means that the more you travel, the more you pay. So obviously people in jobs where you're on the road quite a bit would be paying a lot more than people who just occasionally use the roads. And that's, opens up a whole other Pandora's box of information available to the government that, basically a Privacy Act information. So I don't even know, what the plan is there, but it sounds like that's something he wants to consider.
So where does this bill stand? Is there any more discussion that's going to be taking place this week on this?
I think the discussion is going to be very limited. At this point, like I said, it's both sides have weighed in. The governor did an amendment last week to the transportation bill that replaced a lot of the tax increases he wants. The legislature, the House and Senate, both basically voted no on that amendment. And now the bill itself, there's no more amendments to it. It's just an up or down, yes or no. And at this point, I believe we're going to say no to the governors and yes to what the House and Senate finally crafted.
Jeff, has there been any thought or from either you or the legislator on what the impact of some of these are going to be on small businesses in Massachusetts?
Well, you know, again, there's actually some legislators who are in the computer service business, and what's happening is it's really interesting. This is a tax on services or labor. It's not on, typically in Massachusetts, we don't tax on labor. We're already a high labor cost state because of our union, you know, requirements for prevailing wage and the Pacheco Law, which requires certain projects to be, you know, union. So we already have a high labor rate in the state, and that sets us up to need to exempt labor from taxation so that we can be competitive with other states. But what we're doing is selectively choosing an industry where we're going to actually tax on labor. You know, in this case, the labor of software design or development, or even, you know, potentially website development for small businesses or whatever. So, and that's the problem. They're not exactly sure how they're going to implement this tax. And in fact, we're actually going to pass it when the fiscal year's already started. So now, you know, what do you do if you're a company that provides some of these services and, you know, now for about a month or so you've been doing the service? Do you have to go back and try to collect a tax from a company that you already did the work for because at the time you weren't supposed to tax them? I mean, what's going to happen is a lot of these businesses are going to now have to just take it right out of their pocket to pay that tax on any business that happened within the last month or two. So it's really been a strange time of the legislature passing something that I don't even think they realized how negative an impact it would have. Because the other thing, too, I don't think people realize this. We have a mate, as far as states with technology development, we are one of the top states. California ranks higher than us as far as technology and computer design services and things like that. And so, you know, with a lot of companies that originate from the MIT area up in, you know, Route 128 up in Cambridge, you know, a lot of these high-tech services that involve web design or web services, they are now going to really get whacked. And Facebook, which is really funny, Facebook started here in Massachusetts, moved to California. They're thinking about opening an office back up here at Kendall Square in Boston. And our big welcome back to Boston or Massachusetts then is going to be to hit them with a huge tax that they weren't paying in California. So, again, I don't think this was well thought through, but unfortunately it looks like the legislature is going to let it pass.
I want to kind of push on from this transportation finance bill to the fiscal year 2014 budget. Any word on this? Where does this thing stand right now?
Well, you know, the budget basically is in limbo until we pass this revenue package. And, you know, the state budget this year already is going to be, it's spending 5% more than we did last year. It's looking like it's going to be a total of, in this year, potentially $2 billion more than we spent the previous year, which, not that $1 billion a year is a good clip, but $2 billion is incredibly out of pace. That we've actually spent $1 billion for 20 years now, since 1993. For the last 20 years, our budget's gone up from $13 billion now to $33 billion. It's going to be $34, possibly $35 billion by the time this thing's signed. And that's a huge, huge billion-dollar-a-year increase at a time when, again, people know that the revenues haven't been, you know, exactly coming in for the last few years. Now, we are starting to build up our rainy day fund. We did have a year where we exceeded revenue versus benchmark what we anticipated for revenue coming in. A lot of it does have to go to the rainy day fund, which had been severely depleted, you know, and so now we're trying to build up the, you know, that money so that we have a safeguard against any more downturns. But again, the spending is incredibly out of control, if you ask me, at a time when we really, shouldn't be asking people for more money. We should be trying to lower taxes to make things cheaper. I mean, we just cannot see any more business leave the state, that's for sure.
Anything, any word in regards to any of the EBT reforms that have been worked on and talked about? Any updates in that area?
Well, I mean, it looks like, you know, thank goodness for Shauna O'Connell out of Taunton. She's, you know, since she got into the office in 2010, has been pushing hard on this. And, you know, 2.5 years later, it looks like we may get photo ID photos on there. What we're really fighting, though, for is to not have the self-declaration saying that you're eligible, just taking your word for it that you're eligible. We'd like to see a Social Security number be procured so that we can verify that you're a U.S. citizen that deserves it. That's a problem because we feel that there's quite a bit of waste there. We've seen that Department of Transitional Services obviously have a lot of fraud in there, where they were giving, you know, over 1,000 people were collecting who were deceased. We had somebody who, I guess, lost their card over 125 times and had it replaced. We've seen high balances, you know, $5,000, $7,000 balances on cards that are supposed to be used as sort of supplemental money to help you get through the week or through the month. you know, in transitional services. And so, you know, the fraud's been out there, and unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be fairly weak reform at this case. At this time, I think really, photo ID is the only thing that looks like it's going to really pass of any significance. Although you may hear the legislature crow about passing more significant stuff, I think it's all going to be studied, and they're going to wait for the Senate president, who says she's coming out with a much more comprehensive bill. So, unfortunately, where it stands is, I think it's not going to be going as far as we need it to go.
Eddie, I thought there was something new in regards, you had mentioned about the excessive balances. Was that the new wrinkle that we've seen as far as some of the abuses that were recently reported?
Yeah, no, it just came out, you know, Shauna O'Connell, I mean, God bless her, she actually paid $800 because the Department of Transitional Assistance required her to pay for it. Normally something that a committee would be able to ask for, she requested, and they said, you're going to have to pay money for that. So she paid $800. And the data she was given a few months later showed that there was these significantly high balances on a lot of these cards. And what we think is, we think that it's tied into sort of a fraud system where people are getting these cards with and building up, letting the cards accrue a high balance. And then what they try to do is sell it to somebody, saying that there's a high balance on it, or a good balance on it. And they'll sell it at, let's say, half the rate or 25% of what the thing is in there. And then they'll call in quickly to DTA once the card is sold and say, it was stolen or lost. And then, you know, that person who's paid for it, you know, loses that money that they spent. And the person gets a new card with that same balance on it. So it's sort of a scam that's going on, we think. And I think we need to see more about investigating that. You know, the IG and the Attorney General, the Inspector General and the Attorney General, both have weighed in on fraud that they've discovered in DTA and in Health and Human Services overall. And a lot of it's due to lack of technology that allows us to verify people that deserve the benefits or monitoring that they're using the benefits correctly. So, you know, we need better safety systems in place for taxpayer money that's going to people who don't deserve it. And that's the fraud that, you know, Sean has been discovering and that we're trying to, you know, change up at the legislature.
And this the $800 that the state representative from the 3rd Bristol District paid was... Are you trying to tell me this was under the new regime that's, I believe, that Stacey Monahan, the new interim coordinator of the DTA, you're saying this has taken place recently under the new person?
Yeah, that sadly is the case. I mean, you know, we got Secretary Polonowicz came in to replace Secretary Bigby in Health and Human Services, and he hired Stacey Monahan to oversee DTA, and she's done a 100-day, you know, listening tour, and unfortunately, you know, some of that listening was we found out that Dedham police chief actually called in that he discovered fraud in one of his drug busts, and they didn't even take the call for 2 weeks. So I don't know what kind of a listening tour that was, but then to add insult to injury, you know, a state rep is calling to find out, you know, some data to figure out if there's fraud, and they end up, you know, charging her money to get that data. So it was it's been a little bit discouraging to have the transparency we were hoping for.
Anything that we haven't covered during our conversation that you feel is pertinent to the listeners to know?
Well, you know, just one thing. I'm on the housing committee as well, the ranking member on housing, and I just got back from Springfield earlier today. We're having a series of hearings across the state about the governor's plan to consolidate housing authorities, the control, into six regions. And, you know, I think the legislature, I'm against it. A lot of the legislature's against it. And stay tuned for more on that, because that's going to, I think, be coming up soon as far as something that we end up voting for. It's the governor's Bill 44, but the legislature offered an alternative that I think has much more reasonable expectations on and doesn't take away local control, nor does it allow the state to basically seize $14 billion in local housing authority assets, which, by the way, the state doesn't own. Your communities own your housing authorities, and the state wants to just basically confiscate it. So that's another big reason we don't want to let it pass.
Okay. If folks have any comments or questions into the conversation that we've had, or they're following along with anything that's going on up at the State House, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, best way is go to my website. It's jeffdiehl.com. That's GEOFFDIEHL.com. I have my links to my Facebook and my Twitter accounts, which people can log into and check out. I you know, communicate via social media pretty regularly. And on my website, I try to update with any news articles or anything I've got going on. So that's the best way to get me. But, of course, at the State House, you can call my office and talk to me. I'm at 617-722-2810. And, again, if I'm not on Mondays, you know, if you try to call me, I may be listening to, you know, Monday Night Talk. So, you know, be careful.
Jeff, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you have a safe return from Springfield. We know you're traveling back to the South Shore, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the coming weeks.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Kevin.
You got it.
Take care.
We come back. We're going to speak with a Brockton mayoral candidate in just a moment. Stay tuned.